And good morning, listener. A warm good morning from a beautiful, crisp November Dymchurch. We're by the sea in Kentish countryside. December. Where are we? It is the 2nd of December. We have a cracking show. I'm about to, all I can say, listener, is we've got fish, the best fresh fish just caught, and Steve the fish has brought it in under his arm and he's been frying up in the studio, causing a bit of a stir, may I say, because the producer getting rather upset about the smell, but it's fresh fish, therefore it doesn't smell. So we're going to be chomping our way through fresh fish, and we have the lovely Debbie Carter, who's brought in lots of chockies. So need I say more? I think we'll be playing a lot of music during the show while we basically eat. We've got Steve the fish. We've got white bait.
Whiting.
What's the difference?
Whiting is it's a local fish, sustainable fish, fine flake, delicate flavour. Looks a little bit like a small cod, but a finer flake and a more delicate flavour. Absolutely superb for making things like goujons and that type of thing.
Much better than a white bait. More flesh.
More
may I open this?
Yes, of course.
Now, listen, I'm opening up something. I feel it's like December the 25th, Dr. John.
Yes, well, it's always like December the 25th for you, because you're always opening up everything we get on the show, aren't you?
It's a shame. The one person missing is the Colin on wine with Prosecco, isn't it? Or his
carver,
well,
you might get withdrawal symptoms, but yes, we'll person. Just have to cope with that,
because
won't we?
This is actually my perfect show. Fish, I love. Chocolate, I love. If with a little bit of carver or Prosecco, maybe some ale pies from Bee Blue Bakery, or Blue Bee Bakery.
Blue Bakery. It's called The Blue Bakery.
But on Twitter, they're
Bee Bakery Free, I think, if I remember
something.
Right,
but if we had their ale pie as well, wow.
Yeah, that was very nice, actually.
That was.
It was
I'm ordering some, lots. Now, so we have Debbie Carter, who's in the flanked, in the middle of the two boys, and she hails from Linton in Maidstone. I think that's where she's got the branding name for her chocolate, listener, but we'll hear about that later. If you want to check out her website, it's www.chocolates.co.uk. Pop on there and see what goodies we're eating, because there's some cobnut ones there, which are really my one weakness. So Debbie is going to be telling us the secrets of her trade later on in the show. And Steve is going to hop out in the... He's sort of prepped it. He's come in with a lovely sort of little cooker under his arm. Sort of cooker thing.
It is a cooker thing.
Yeah, and he's going to hop out with Minky and... Minky the monkey, who's here suspended, and he's going to
who on earth you were talking about then? I thought, you know, you're obviously getting DTs or something.
No,
I haven't met Minky. Well, there she was referring to Minky, and I thought she was just getting
it's turning into Listen with Mother, really, isn't it? You're all too old to know about that. But Listen
well,
with Mother.
You're not, of course, Jules.
It was a children's programme a long time ago in the '60s. It was a little bit sinister, actually. People on swings and things, a bit odd.
The wooden tops were good.
Yeah, flower top men.
Spotty the dog.
Spotty dog, yes. I think he had a touch of arthritis.
He was a bit suspect.
He needed more fish in his diet.
He definitely did.
Because my dog, actually, I give her a lot of white fish, definitely. So in the studio, cracking, lots of eating. Now, as always, we would love to hear from you on Channel Radio. You can tweet us at ScoffQuaff. We'd love to know your events. I'm sure you're getting sort of in a Christmassy kind of mood. Humbug, some may say, but I'm sure you are. Now, we're going to go over to Dr. John. First of all, he's going to tell us who our sponsors are for the week, and then he's going to run through some little tweets that you've been sending in.
Yes, well, our sponsors this week are Godmersham Game, Elm Court Farmers Market, and they're the first Sunday of every month. First Sunday of every month. My headphones just come off, don't worry. First Sunday of every month, and we have Cripps Food Law, who are on last week. As for tweets,
Can I stop you on the Cripps Law? Because we will be there, won't we?
Yes, we will be on Thursday.
Thursday evening,
yes,
we're going to be at
tweet up.
The Swan at Chapel Down. It's a sort of tweet up under the Cripps Law. If you look at them, you'll see them, Cripps Law Food or Cripps Food Law. I always forget. but just Google Cripps Law and you'll find them, or follow them on our timeline. So Dr. John and I will be there. We're only going really for, we've heard that there are some nibbles and some light.
You're going for the nibbles. I'm going because you want someone to drive you.
Yes, Chapel Down wine. Chapel Down at the Swan.
Let's get the facts straight here.
I will do some...
you won't do any driving at all. I'll do the driving. You'll do the drinking and the eating.
Well, she could drive there and you could drive back. Then that's sharing.
I'm not having her drive my car. It's not safe.
You will find me probably slumped behind the bar at the Swan Chapel Down.
And after then the slumped in the car seat on the way back, yeah.
So, Dr. John, back to you. Who tweeted?
Well, we've had quite a few tweets in. We've had from Crepe in My Face. They're saying that they want to hear any Christmas tips. And also they say that Rochester Farmers Market, which is at Rochester, FMRMRKT, is at the Dickens Festival on this 5th, 6th and 7th of December in the King's Head Car Park. And... Crepe in My Face will be there with their, especially with their devils and salted butter caramel Christmas hamper.
Oh, that does sound lovely.
So that sounds really tasty and yummy. We've also had tweets in from the Thanet Farmers Market, from Alum Farmers Market, as well as Elm Court. I'll be reading out and later on in the show the days of various farmers markets are active this week.
Thank you, Dr. John. Now, may I make a sort of a public announcement, people? I'm looking for an admin PA assistant. Must be very keen on food, ideally in the Whitstable area, because I live in Whitstable. There will be some work at home, but also some in my office. But I want, I'm looking for that. So if you'd like to get in touch with the at Scoff Shop, Scoff Quaff Show, part-time work. For you. Thank you very much. Now, Dr. John, what should we do? Do you want to read out a little ditty?
Yes, we can.
Sure, you're perched, ready. Well,
I came across an article actually by the chief exec of Waitrose, Mark Rice, who was commenting...
You're thinking of the Rice Arsenic and Rice Show, which was...
And he was commenting on the dilemma that I think face most of the big supermarkets these days, that people's shopping habits have changed quite dramatically. Mm. And they're starting to shop more local and in smaller amounts, which somewhat goes against the trend a few years ago, hence the reason why all the big supermarkets opened these huge conurbations of food and God knows what
else. Hypermarket, where you go in and you just feel like screaming.
He goes on to say that big supermarkets may be forced to close due to major changes in our shopping habits, particularly companies like Tesco, Sainsbury's, Asda and Morrison's are particularly the ones. And of course, the other problem is that people are now shopping more at Aldi and Lidl's. And he says that they're going to probably have to follow the trend of B&Q and Homebase, which have been downsizing of late and closing stores.
Can we just hold that, Dr. John, and bring in Debbie? Debbie, have you got children?
Yes, I've got three children.
Okay, and we'll ask Steve again, because Steve is into the farmers markets, and certainly I would say that there probably has been a change, because I noticed it myself, certainly maybe 3-4 years ago, but I've always had a vegetable delivery, mainly because I juice quite a lot and I don't want to juice. I want to juice organic, because if you're taking such a vast amount of carrots and that, your average carrot has been sprayed 17 times. So it's much better to juice organic, because I'm doing it for my health and my energy levels. So I get a veg box for ease. It comes every Thursday. And then I discovered another delivery, which Steve is not in my area, or otherwise Steve the fish would, but we are talking, because where do you live, Steve?
Rochester.
So I've got someone in Herne Bay, is my local fishmonger, that's Hudson's Fish, and she now delivers to me every week, and I get a dressed crab every week, because I'm a creature of habit. Yeah, and people think it's extravagant, but actually I'm not going to the supermarket, so I'm getting a dressed crab. And I bought yours, Steve, and they're fantastic. And you've actually given me lots, but then I did buy one off you as well.
I never gave you crabs.
But to me, a dressed crab, let's say fresh. But to me, that's your fast food. On a night when I'm busy, dressed crab, bit of toast and a bit of salad, Bob's your uncle. You're getting all your protein. So I get that, and then I get whatever fish they give me, basically. I leave it to them. The same as my veg box. I leave it to them, what's in season. You can pick and choose, but I haven't got time. So now I'm also getting my loo rolls from the market, which is by Dr. John's house. I used to go to a place called Home Bargains in Canterbury for loo rolls and cleaning stuff. Dead cheap. By TK Maxx. And there's a... It's Sturry. Sturry Road, if you know Canterbury.
Yeah.
I'm sure Nurse Liz in Maryland doesn't know Canterbury very well. But so I was getting my loo rolls from there. And then I realised my local market is selling the same loo rolls and cheaper. So, Steve, you'll come in there. Tell us about the markets.
Yeah, that's very true. Excuse me, I've got a mouthful of...
Chocolate.
Gorgeous, salted caramel chocolate. That is fantastic. Yeah, what you'll find with a lot of the farmers' markets now is, if you're talking about the vegetable and the fruit side, is that a lot of the producers that are on the markets do also offer a home delivery service. Either a veg box, or you ring up and you place an order with whatever you want. And it does, it cuts out the supermarket. It's priced very, very competitively compared to the supermarkets. You know that the produce has probably only come out of the ground the day or 2 days before.
Yeah,
so
fresh.
It's going to keep much better as well. So that will cut down on the wastage.
Mm.
The guys will offer regular delivery services once a week, twice a week. So you haven't got to buy more than you need. And of course, by not going to the supermarket, you're cutting down on your fuel costs.
And all the picking up of the junk that you don't really need.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just find them, I gave up because I find them overwhelming. I'm of an age now where I used to kind of love them for convenience and do a huge shop. But now you go in with that small trolley. I only ever get the small trolley.
Me too.
And it comes to sort of 180, 200 quid. So I get to the checkout and I think, what have I actually got here? And I feel like abandoning the trolley and running out screaming. So I've stopped going. Can't do it.
Wow.
And like Dr. John, I will nip into Aldi sometimes or Lidl. And actually Aldi, although I like to support local, they do have some pretty nice wines if you're careful. And some of their stuff is not bad. But certainly the farmers markets, the local greengrocer, we're lucky enough, Dr. John and I, in Tankerton, where we live, to have a great butcher's, which is Sermons. He's fabulous. But with young kids, who wants to drag them around a supermarket?
Oh, God, I'd never go with the children unless I absolutely have to.
And women that drag their husbands around.
Oh, my goodness, no. And that's worse, because they're worse than the kids for putting stuff in that you don't really want.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Excuse us.
Well, my new husband has not been shopping for clothes or for anything in the 20 years I've known him. I get all his clothes and he never goes in a supermarket. Can't bear it. So, but interesting on this changing face of shopping. So, listener, let us know your thoughts at Scoff Quaff. Have you changed your shopping habits? And also, you go and talk to a stallholder at the markets. You know, you get a rapport, don't you?
Exactly. The people that you're talking to on the stalls, on the markets, they've either grown it, they've made it, they've cooked it, they've caught it.
Exactly.
They know the ins and outs of everything from start to finish. You know, if you go to a supermarket, and not being disrespectful to the people that work in supermarkets, but they wouldn't be able to tell a wild sea bass from a
I went to Primark to get my youngest some underwear because he's at uni and he was running out. So I went to Primark to get him a load more. And I said to the young lady there, have you got any of those paddy socks with the grippers underneath, you know, slipper socks, whatever they're called? And she said, no, I don't think so. You know, and she was, you know, an hour, she was saying that. And I got really bored, but I was polite. You know, I couldn't run off once I'd asked her. And anyway, she didn't know, and she said, don't think so. And we went round looking, couldn't find them. The minute I left her, I bumped into the slipper socks, you know, and found them myself. So maybe you're right. The training.
Bumped into the slipper socks.
Huh?
You bumped into the slipper socks.
Yeah.
Not where you're going.
I slipped into them.
You'd been on the wine when you went shopping that day, had you?
Again.
I think the other good thing about, as Steve was saying, if somebody's made something, you know, like you was asking earlier about my chocolates, whether they've got any gluten in them. So if you're talking to the person that makes them, then you can feel more assured of what you're buying, or if you want a special order, I mean, I at Christmas time, I often make, and for Mother's Day as well, rose and violet creams,
oh,
which are traditionally made in dark chocolate. But oh, I have a few customers that really don't like dark chocolate. And as long as they're ordering, you know, a box or two, then I will make them in milk chocolate because I've got the filling made anyway. So, you know.
So you're listening. You're listening to what your customer wants. Yeah.
And we've all been in this situation in restaurants or even shops where you say, well, do you have any gluten-free this or is there any gluten in this? And they turn around and say, well, we're not sure. And they have to go and ask someone. And even then they don't sometimes always know. That's a real problem.
A bit of a scandal. You know, we did the allergy special last week, Dr. John.
Yeah.
Well, I went to Whitstable Harbour, let's say. There's a restaurant there and they have a big sign up saying, you know, the 14 allergens, they basically named all 14 allergens, our products may contain lupin, the whole lot, which is just really not helping, is it? It's not going to help. They're just covering themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And we must talk to Cripps about it. So basically, it put me off, you know, what are you going to do? Rummage and everything and find out.
But that's the cop-out, isn't it, with the new law that's coming in on December the 13th that companies will just put we may contain blah 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 blah, which just means that they're covered legally, which is rather defeating the purpose of the exercise, which is to actually put the active, you know, they don't have this gluten, you know,
we need the active
the active product.
Otherwise, the thing is, if they're saying they may contain, it probably means they are they just don't want to admit it.
But this is a fish stall, Steve, at the harbour. So I couldn't think, why would there be lupin in a fish? Maybe the fish has eaten lupin.
You've got me on that one.
We don't even know what a lupin is.
I was going to say, well, lupin
is a flower, isn't it?
I thought it was a type of rabbit.
Isn't there, lupins are flowers.
I'm seeing a purple flower.
Yeah.
Or a blue.
It's sort of, it's rather, it's rather like a small foxglove, isn't it?
That's what I'm seeing.
So whether it's something to do with that, but whether they go in fields and then they get the some protein from them gets into the wheat or whatever, I don't know.
Well, while we waffle on about lupin, listener, hope you
listeners have now fallen asleep.
You can go and make a cuppa, but let's just have a shout for your farmers market this Sunday before so people can Google it.
Elm Court Farmers Market this Sunday.
Brilliant.
9:30 until 1:30. Christmas specials, around about 35 stalls. Be there or miss out.
We'll be hearing more about that from Steve the Fish later on. Listen, we're going to play a lovely little bit of Simon and Garfunkel and a little ad.
Temp Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531-777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Here's Cecilia and it's Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
And that was Simon and Garfunkel with Cecilia. I have just partaken of a lovely chocolate. What was it I had? Ginger?
No, coffee and Kahlua had.
Yes, I started off with the ginger and then I progressed, didn't I?
Yes.
Coffee and Kahlua. What is Kahlua, pray tell?
Kahlua is a coffee liqueur, similar to Tia Maria. Mm. So, yes, I just put like coffee essence in there.
Now, Nurse Liz in Maryland, I know it's a long way for you to come, but they are rather delicious. Just give a little shout for Debbie Carter's website. It's www.chocolates.co.uk.
Linton-chocolates.
Sorry, I forgot the Linton. Where am I? It's because for some reason I haven't written it. Now, you're based in Linton near Maidstone.
Yes.
And tell me how you started in this. I mean, were you always a chocolate maker, chocolatier?
It was something a girlfriend, French girlfriend of one of my uncles, used to make truffles at Christmas time when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional family recipe, and they were absolutely delicious, just dusted in cocoa. They weren't sort of dipped in tempura chocolate or anything like that. And we all used to love them, very rich, you know, only have one or two at a time. And one year she gave me the recipe. And then when they parted their ways, I took over making the chocolate truffles every Christmas for all the family because we really, really enjoyed them.
Okay.
And so my interest in chocolate just grew from there, really. It was just a hobby initially. And until I went on a course earlier on this year, everything that I'd done up until then was completely self-taught through experiment and internet research and talking to other chocolatiers, really.
So when you're doing... Did you sort of start off with... tell me how you start off with chocolate. What do you start off with, cacao or...?
Well, I buy what's called couverture.
Right.
So it's already processed from the bean.
Right.
And it comes in little... Basically, it looks like tiny buttons. Mm. And you can eat it as it is.
Like chocolate buttons?
Yes.
Okay. What's it called?
Couverture.
Couverture, okay.
And it's basically chocolate maker's chocolate.
Yeah.
And it's only got... you know, the sugar and the ingredients from the cocoa bean. It doesn't have any vegetable oil,
so
like some cheaper chocolates do.
I know. And hasn't it changed? We were talking about the... I mean, I've definitely noticed a difference since Dairy Milk was bought by the cheese people.
Kraft.
It's, in my opinion, listener, it's definitely got more waxy, more margarine-y.
I don't tend to eat a lot of stuff like that. You know, it's only if the children have got something. Mummy, do you want one of these?
I can see you looking down your nose immediately. I mention it.
But yeah. I must admit, I am partial as a nostalgic thing to a bit of a Cadbury Easter egg at Easter, but just because it does remind me of my childhood. But I do prefer better quality chocolate.
So with your couverture, with the dark chocolate, what kind of cocoa content has that got?
The standard dark that I use has 53%.
Right.
And because it's a good quality chocolate, it doesn't leave a bitter aftertaste.
Mm.
And what I say, because you do still get a fair proportion of people that are not that keen on dark chocolate, but when they try my dark chocolate, I most people generally change their opinion. I never used to be particularly keen on dark until I started working with the
Very
chocolate
good
that
for
I use.
You, you know.
It is much better because it's got less sugar and it's got less fat in it, and it's got more of the naturalness of the cocoa bean. So you eating it, you're going to have less sugar, less fat.
Mm.
So yeah, it's far better for you. And I do use other stronger cocoa content chocolate for more specialist products, but my general dark chocolate that I use is the 53%.
And with your fillings, I know that's what you're really into, having just tasted about five of them, Nurse Liz. Oh, you wish you were here. How do you get your inspiration for those?
Well, sometimes it might be something that I've tried somewhere else. Sometimes I don't honestly know where it comes from. You know, like, I mean, I've always been a cook, and you know, sometimes when you're in the kitchen and you just think, oh, I'll just put a bit of this and a bit of that and see if it works. I mean, the rum truffle that I do, I haven't actually brought any with me because I sold out at the weekend.
Just having a bit of Gravard Lax.
Lovely. Sure. The rum truffle, I put a little bit of mace into, you know, the spice that's the coating of a nutmeg. I can't concentrate while I'm dangling that in your mouth.
So lovely.
It looks delicious.
Oh, very good for me.
So I put mace in with the rum, and I don't know why, I just got inspired to try that, but I just think the flavour works really well. And yeah, the rum truffle sells really well. You know, people come back for it again and again.
This Gravard Lax is lovely. I'm not sure whether we should have had perhaps the fish before the chocolate.
Yes, well, you shouldn't have pudding before main course, should you, really?
But I'm wondering about the dips he's brought in. I'll have to wait for him to come back. Okay, so how do you see your business going? Are you at fairs and how are you selling them?
I do. I sell at farmers markets and fairs and things, food festivals, also online, and I also supply some farm shops. So a lot of my products are bars of chocolate with different toppings on.
I hope the listener can't hear me chomping on the Gravard Lax.
And so some of the farm shops sell the bars and the chocolate coated cob nuts. But yeah, I mean, this weekend I'm at the Yalding Yuletide.
So that's the Saturday the 6th of December.
Yes, that's right. And it starts at 4:45 until about 8:00. It's wonderful atmosphere because it's in the dark, really Christmassy, great to take the kids to, really lovely family affair. Lots of the Yalding Farmers Market are there, plus lots of other stallholders, wonderful gift ideas for Christmas, Christmas music. They close off the whole high street. No vehicles are allowed down there. So it's, you know, you can really
sounds
have
a little better than that Black Friday.
Oh my goodness, yes. You're not going to get a telly dropped on your head at Yalding on Saturday. I can assure you.
What was all that about?
It was dreadful, wasn't it? And they didn't even save that much money from what I heard anyway. I was too busy making chocolate to be really paying that much attention to it at the time. But
Is this your full-time job now?
Yes, it is, yes. That and my three children, yes.
Have you read Bruce McMichael's book, Cook, Wrap, Sell?
No.
Now, we have a competition. We gave one book away to lovely Ken Lloyd, our graphic designer friend, actually won one. And when he's read it, I'm going to ask him sweetly to redonate it to the Scoff Quaff Show so we can put it out as a prize again. But Dr. John has also got one on the website. If you go on to www.scoffquaff.co.uk, if it's not up already, it will be in the next couple of days. There is a chance to win Cook, Wrap, Sell by Bruce McMichael. Perfect for a company such as yours, who's looking at the whole thing, you know, of how to get bigger. And because people can buy on your website, can't they?
Yes, they can, yes.
And they can order.
Yeah, they can order online. And if they're local to me, they can arrange to come and collect it either from my unit in Linton or from me at one of the events that I do. I'm also at the East Farley Farmers Market on Sunday morning. So they can pick things up from me locally or I can post things out.
Okay. So I love the fact that you're using here, this one I'm looking at, listener, Belgium dark chocolate with coated with Kentish cob nuts. So you're working with the local Kentish guys. So Potash Farm is fantastic, Alistair. Tell me about that, how you met each other.
Well, I was actually, I worked originally with Hurstwood Farm, who produced the cob nut oil. I don't know if you're aware of that. And they'd asked me to make some chocolate coated cob nuts for them, which they sold. And then I was selling them myself. And then I met Alexander a few years ago at a Christmas event.
Yes.
And as you probably know, he sells lots of cob nut products. And years ago, he used to have somebody make chocolate coated cob nuts for him. And for one reason or another, it had stopped. But he was very keen to talk to me about whether I could supply him because he still had people, even though he hadn't done them for years and years, he still had people asking him for them.
Yeah.
So we worked together, and I mean, I sell my chocolate coated cob nuts in my sort of standard chocolate that I use, and then I produce an exclusive range for Potash Farm in a single origin chocolate, so it's like a higher grade, so that there is a differential between the two. But they're both great. So I roast the cob nuts.
Yeah.
Then I caramelise them. But when I caramelise them, I take the sugar till it's almost burnt, because you don't want to be sweetening the nut, really. It's there to prevent the oil from the nut coming out into the chocolate, and it also sort of seals in the roasted flavour of the nut. And then they're dipped twice by hand in chocolate.
What's this one?
That one is a gingerbread truffle.
Oh,
it doesn't have pieces of gingerbread in it. It just has the flavours The spices from the ginger.
I do love it. I do love ginger. Ginger is my one weakness anyway. I do love it in a chocolate. What about, are you trying to do anything? I was thinking about chili or cardamom or anything like that. Are you doing anything like that?
I do a dark chocolate bar with chili, which I find it's one of those things that sometimes sells really well and other times people are a bit unsure of.
I would definitely eat it.
It's something I want to make a truffle with chili in, but whenever I'm thinking about it, I'm just so busy. I haven't got the time to experiment with it. So I think it's definitely something on the to-do list for the new year. Maybe we'll have something out for Valentine's Day with maybe, I don't know, vodka and chili or something.
Oh yeah, vodka and chili. That sounds like the perfect combination, Dr. John, doesn't it?
It does indeed, yes.
I feel a chaise longue sort of time coming on. Okay, this is fantastic. Well, you're going to stay around and we're going to tuck into some fish and grab our luxe and then round off with some more chocolate. Look out for Debbie Carter of Linton Chocolates. And she'll be, as she said, on the 6th of December, this Saturday, at Yalding. Is it called a Christmas fair?
Yuletide.
Yuletide. Very clever.
Yes.
And Yalding is spelt Yalding, Yalding, which is near Maidstone?
Yeah, it's near Maidstone, yes. Sort of Maidstone, Paddockwood in between the two. Really.
And the kickoff's about 4:45. So
yes.
Have a look for them there. And do you get your kids involved? Do they go with you? Or?
Well, usually my parents bring the children because I'm so busy. I mean, I have to have at least two people helping me. But my eldest is now 13 and he's rather keen to work on the stall. So I've agreed, but I do have two other people helping me as well.
For now, Debs, thank you very much, Carter of Linton Chocolates. And we're going to play a little bit of The Animals because I feel a bit like an animal, actually. I'm just going to tuck into some fish and some
more
chocolate.
Fighting everybody to get to the food before they do.
Here's
so
the
she's
animals.
Very animal-like.
Baby, do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad. But don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Sometimes I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems and I get my shit, and that's one thing I never mean to do. Cause I love you. Oh, 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 baby, don't you know I'm human? Have thoughts like any other one. Sometimes I find myself long regretting some foolish thing, some little sinful thing I've done. Understood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Oh, that was Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, The Animals. Sorry, but listener, we've gone a bit wild in the studio. I've just tweeted out on Scoffquaff a picture of my guests shoveling Gravard Lax and all sorts into their mouth. We got some fantastic sauces. We must say a big thank you to
The Three Tons Pub in Lower Howstow.
Which I must go and see. Now, tell me where Lower Howstow is.
Lower Howstow is just off the A2 outside of Sittingbourne. If you're heading north, you go through Sittingbourne on the A2 and it's signposted. Lower Howstow is signposted from there. But they do have a website, Facebook and Twitter, so you can always click onto one of their links. And
beautiful curry sauce. I've only had the curry sauce so far. Fantastic. Tell me what the other two sauces are we've got in the studio.
They've done a Superno mayonnaise and an aioli. All three that they use regularly in the pub.
I'm going to stink this afternoon. Aioli, you know?
It was yummy. I had that one.
I know. Well, I'm sharing a microphone with two guests at the Business Bunker. I purposely didn't eat any garlic last night and it's just all gone down the pan. But hey, worth it.
They won't mind.
They won't mind. So it was Perno and
aioli.
And Perno is the middle one.
Right.
No, that's the Perno.
Sorry, that's the Perno.
Because the listener can't see anyway.
I can't either because I'm sat down. Yeah. This is really good visual radio. It works really well.
Right, so the Perno one is that one. I'm going to try it. That looks like aioli to me.
It's not. That one's aioli. Okay. That one's Perno.
Well, thank you to the Three Tons Pub, and we'll be coming in next time, Steve Lavish. Because didn't you have an open day there last week?
They had their annual Christmas market on Saturday.
Was it good?
Which was a tremendous success. Mm. Lots of local producers there. And they also had their first Winter Ale Festival over the weekend as well, which again was another great...
What kind of ales have they got there, do you know?
The ales that they have on the bar on a regular basis, they have four different ales there, plus a range of six or seven still ciders, all brewed in Kent. They're very, very keen at the Three Tons to support local producers and local growers. Mm. The apple juices that they sell behind the bar are all produced in Kent as well. The ales and a lot of the produce they use in the kitchen, they will always source local where possible, which I think is one of the reasons why they've just won an award.
Yeah. I was reading somewhere that I think it was something like that pubs are going to be able... We'll have to ask Andy Setterfield this when he's on at the bar, Dr. John. But pubs are going to be able to now wheedle out of their, you know, being having to stock, say, for example, Whitbread, or they're going to be able to sort of wheedle out of that and be more free house, which would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'll be fantastic. Not just for the customer, but for the licensee as well, because if they're tied to a particular brewery for a particular beer, it ties their hands and they can't expand and develop the way that they want to.
It's not usually just the beer, though, that because I mean, I've worked in pubs over the years, you know, when you have young children. Yeah. It's a convenient place to work.
It's always good to put them behind the bar.
Yeah, fantastic. No, leave them at home with the husband while you go out to work. But no, I mean, I've worked at places and it's not just the beer where they're tied, it's all the spirits as well. And obviously then that ties them to a certain price because there's no competitiveness on the pricing if basically it's a cartel, isn't it, if they've got to buy everything from there. So hopefully it'll as you say, that give the customer better choice and hopefully maybe make it more competitive. And with so many pubs that have closed in recent years, hopefully it'll prevent that slide happening even more.
Yeah, they've got to be given a chance.
Steve, so just run us through, we're talking about Christmas countdown now. We are actually in December. Christmas is creeping up. It's the same time every year. We always get into, you know, I'm lulled into thinking I've done it all. And then I always have to get into a little mad panic sort of the day before. Otherwise, I don't feel it's Christmas. Even when I've got everything, I still have to screech at my husband. Oh, I haven't got any cranberries. So run us through what you're offering people at Elmcourt Farmers Market this weekend or for Christmas.
Okay. Obviously, this weekend we'll have our range of fresh local fish, depending on what the boats are landing leading up to the weekend.
And if people want to buy it, if they can get there this weekend, could they put it in the freezer?
Oh yes, no problem at all. Everything that we sell is fresh. Right. We don't sell anything that's been previously frozen.
So they could nip down this weekend and get it ready for their Christmas.
Pop it in the freezer. The other option is they can come down this weekend, discuss their Christmas requirements. We can sort an order out for them, and then we'll be out delivering the 2 days leading up to Christmas.
And how would we get hold of you apart from tweeting?
You can either tweet me, you can message me on Facebook,
right,
or you can call me on 07990 767 893. What I would say on that one is if I don't answer, please leave a message.
It means you're under a sea bass or something.
I'm either being battered by a fish or I'm driving.
So your Twitter is at Fish and Veg.
At Fish and Veg Man.
Man. And your phone number is 07990767893.
That's it.
And you're also on Facebook.
And Facebook, Mobile Fresh Fish and Farm Shop.
Mobile Fresh Fish and Farm Shop. Brilliant. So run us through what you got on this little platter.
Okay. Platter. Well, one of the things that everybody likes to go for at Christmas is smoked salmon.
Yes.
Obviously the traditional Christmas breakfast.
And slimming.
Scrambled eggs and smoked salmon. So we have on there from our friends at Margate Smokehouse, we have the hot smoked salmon, which is smoked and roasted. So unlike a normal smoked salmon, that one is actually cooked. So that's fantastic, not just to eat on its own or as part of a buffet, but it makes fantastic salads, new potatoes, etc. Fantastic, sort of just for a nice light meal.
Or fish cakes as well, it makes lovely fish cakes.
Or fish cakes indeed. We've also got there the Gravelax, which they marinate with dill and gin. And we also have their beetroot cured salmon, which is a lovely rich red colour.
Have you got some of that here?
Ooh.
Some of the
is that here
the beetroot cured, that's the red one,
the red one.
I wondered why it was that colour.
So listener, it's got a really lovely rosy colour, would go very well with a rose prosecco, wouldn't it, which I happen to have in my garage.
I might have to try some.
I thought you were going to say you had some under the desk. Let's go.
I would have, yeah, maybe try a little bit. And so what would you, with the sauces, how are you serving it, tell us?
The sauces basically would be for your lobster,
which
unfortunately we haven't got.
It's under the table. Was it still alive?
It didn't get as far as the counter. Jules got to it first. But what we have done instead, just as something very, very quick, again, over the Christmas period, people like snacky food, like something that's quick and easy. So we've done some whiting goujons. Now, we can take the fillets off the whiting for you. We take the skin off for you. So literally all you've got to do then is batter them and fry them. It takes 3 minutes, as you saw, because I sneaked out to do it while you were playing the
did
record.
Paul Andrews get one?
Although you did lock the door and wouldn't let me back in while you were eating everything else. Serve that with a range of mayonnaises, so you've got all the different flavours to go with it. Just quick, simple and cheap as well.
Yeah, and fresh and good for you. Debbie, you tried a whiting.
Yes.
How was it?
It was delicious. Really nice, especially with the mayonnaises. I love the aioli one, but then I love garlicky.
I do. I actually reek. I can smell.
Yeah, I can smell it as
Paul
well.
Paul Andrews would go mad. Paul Andrews.
Well, just don't kiss him, and it'll be fine.
That will never happen. Paul Andrews will be on at 1 p.m. with the Business Bunker with the lovely Jules Serkin, his co-presenter. So stay tuned, and the poor guests are going to be reeking under my breath of aioli. Now, look, Nurse Liz Gilson in Maryland is asking, she struggles with our language, you see, what is a free house? So can you just explain, Steve the Fish, to the lady in Maryland?
Okay, basically with the pubs in England, there are three different types of ownership. One is a free house, where the proprietors will actually own the building, and they are then free to buy their ales, their spirits, their food from anywhere that they want to. The other option is a tied, what's called a tied house, where
you go in and they tie you up to the chair and
force you to drink.
50 Shades style.
Little whips and boots. Carry on, we jest.
Not in some establishments. I won't name and shame.
So a tied house.
But yeah, a tied house. Basically, the proprietors are tenants of the brewery who own the building. And they, by terms of their contract, they have to buy their alcohol and sometimes other products as well through the brewery. So that means that they haven't got the freedom to go out and buy cheaper if they could get it cheaper elsewhere. And then the third option is the managed house, where basically the proprietor, if you like, runs the pub for the brewery as a manager and is paid a wage.
Right. Okay, I hope that helps, Nurse Liz. Let's just, after Christmas, what happens? What happens in January? Are you going to be still getting up and working, or do you have January off? Or?
No, we don't stop. We're 365 days of the year, and that is genuine. I have delivered to people on Christmas Day before. The boats are still out fishing, obviously subject to the weather. We'll still be doing the markets. Unfortunately, one or two of the markets do shut down for January, or they don't start straight away in January. But we're still available to deliver. If the fish is being landed, we're working.
Well, it's blimmin' hard work, but you obviously love what you do and it's rewarding. What about the shortage of fish supply in England? How do you get around that?
That's one that is a very contentious issue. We have got a problem at the moment where there is a complete fishing ban on skate. So the only skate around at the moment is frozen or foreign.
Mm. Why is that getting short?
It's just the quotas. I've got to be a little bit careful what I say because yeah. I don't want to I don't want to get myself in trouble or anybody else. But if the ministry would let the fishermen fish,
yeah,
then I don't think we would have this problem. One of the biggest problems, and we're going back to the supermarkets again, is the massive factory ships that just go into an area and almost rape the seabed.
Yeah.
And some of that is not controlled the way it could be. Mm. And if that could be rectified, the simplest thing I can say to the consumer is shop local. Find out if the fish that you're buying is from a sustainable source, and shop seasonally. Don't look don't look for cod in summer.
Yeah.
When it's not inshore, it's not in season. Mm. Try something else. There are lots and lots of different fish out there. We're selling an awful lot of red gurnard at the moment, mm. which a lot of people haven't
tried.
Is
that bony?
It is a
so would you debone bath. That for
we'll
me?
Debone it for
if
you
I
we'll,
batted
we'll,
my eyelashes at you, you
yep well this that's the other advantage of going to a fishmonger mm. Is that, you know, we will do whatever you want us to do, you know, as it says in the song, you know, we'll skin it, we'll fill it, we'll prep it, we will do whatever you want to do. All you've got to do is take it home and cook it.
Dr. John, can you just give us a quick shout out for Elm Court Farmers Market website?
Well, yes, it's the first Sunday every month, and there are about 35 plus stalls, as Steve said earlier. And it's run by Steve Wood, who can be contacted on 07557739903 if anyone's interested. The charity this month is Spade Works, and they also have, as well as the usual demo kitchen run by Matthew Kiersey Lawson from Kent Fine Foods, they also have Xmas drinks, and there'll be Dundas Tun, Knit from the Hip, and Firkin Beer Limited, all providing drinks.
I wonder if someone's available to drive. that's fantastic.
So that's Elm Court Farmers Market, and that's at Capstan Road, Gillingham, ME73JQ, which is at the Elm Court. Elmvale.
It's the Elmcourt Garden Centre.
That's right. Wyvale, that's right.
And we've had a little tweet from Checker's Kitchen saying, morning, Scoff and Quaff. We have our new Sunday morning baking course, croissant, pain au chocolat, Danish pastries with Peter Mockridge. And you can go on to checkersrestaurant.com to find out more about that. So thank you for that Twitter or tweet. Liz Gilson is saying, very true, shop local and seasonal. So yeah, she's agreeing right. over there in Maryland.
Thank you, Jill.
We had a new follower called Mr. Burger or something. I saw him crop up earlier on. Dr. John, you've got a little ditty about chocolate, I believe.
Yes, it's an article that was in one of the papers, and it was saying that if dairy or milk chocolate Kit Kat is your favourite treat, savour every morsel whilst you can. And this really is about talking about the chocolate famine, which is looming. And as analysts are predicting that within the next 6 years' time, there may well be an annual shortage of 1 million tonnes of cocoa. Currently, there are just 3.5 million tonnes of cocoa produced each year. And the problem is caused by India and China, with their growing population and increasing wealth in the population, and their demand for chocolate. While problems such as diseases and drought mean farmers are also having to switch to more other reliable crops, such as corn. However, the scientists in South America are working in developing a new disease-resistant crop of cocoa leaf, which they hope will be able to beat the shortage. So we might find ourselves in difficult times in 6 years' time as chocolate holics.
Do you know anything about that, Debbie?
Only what I've heard in the media. I've not heard anything, you know, professionally about it. But the trouble is, the area where you can grow cocoa is limited because it has to be around the equator for the right climate, and they're often very small family run farms, as you know, often things are in that part of the world where cocoa's grown. And I mean, the company where who produce the coverture that I use, they do work with the farmers to try and help them improve their productivity, so that they can get more yield from their farms, so that they increase their profit as well, you know, so the farmers are increasing their profit, and supporting them in that way, and improve their production methods as well. So hopefully that will have an effect, this, you know, to try and control this disease as well.
We will find out more. A little ditty here for Christmas, as we're on our Christmas countdown. Remember, you can send your tips in to us and we'll read them out if you're a chef or if you're a mum or a dad. My little tip is to make sure that you get plenty of tin foil, the wide one, loo rolls, kitchen roll. Very basic things.
Why loo rolls? Is this in case you have diarrhoea after you're cooking it or something? Is this something that happens in the circuit house?
Ever had it after. But we do have a lot of people popping round and drinking. Now...
they obviously come with diarrhea, obviously.
Or maybe they do after they visited Jill's house.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, talking of bunging up things, eat more. This is your Christmas...
We're talking of exactly
your Christmas tip. Brussels sprouts. Eat more Brussels sprouts. They are packed with omega-3 fatty acids, and they're thought to keep the heart healthy by reducing inflammation that can damage blood vessels. Well, who knew?
I love Brussels sprouts.
Yes, but I have a thing now where just for Christmas, I like the limestein, but just for Christmas I do them with all the chestnuts and the lardons and a little dash of cream, a little bit of nutmeg. I go wild and they're lovely.
Nutmeg, I'd have to try that.
Yeah. You forgot the clothes pegs, by the way, for the nose when you're eating all his Brussels sprouts.
We use nutmegs, darling. We use nutmegs.
At least we know why she needs all the toilet rolls.
This is luckily I found a market where I can get them.
What, for clothes pegs and lavatory rolls?
And also, listener, if you must have a tipple, raise your glass to a frothy and fizzy blast from the past. Lambrusco, Steve the fish, was, I'm saying it to you because you and I are of a similar age. Dr. John is well over the hill, but probably he was around well before Lambrusco. But for the 1970s and the 1980s, he'll get me back, don't worry. Wine.
I was going to say something, but decided not to.
Lambrusco was naff, pink, sweet, and cheap, but with a supposedly sophisticated Italian edge. Now it is making a comeback, appearing in the trendiest New York and London restaurants. I expect Nurse Liz in Maryland is sipping some now. And she said, no, she didn't say this. It isn't cheap anymore. Some bottles sell for £19.
But does it taste any better, though?
Probably not. Celebrity chef Yotam...
Jules doesn't notice the difference.
Ottolenghi. Now, I don't know how to say his name. I haven't got my glasses. But Ottolenghi. Yotam Ottolenghi. I think he's Israeli. Doesn't sound Israeli.
He could be anything.
Harry Covert. I've made him sound Japanese, I think.
Have you been at the Lambrusco already?
Yeah, clearly. That's what I was just thinking about.
I told you that wasn't water in that bottle.
Yeah, it's obviously vodka or something.
Isn't it a scooter that you drive, a little Italian?
No,
or something like that. Anyway, so he says he's been putting it in on his menus with great success.
Was he got Blue Nun as well?
Probably. He says customers are bored with Prosecco.
I've never bought a Prosecco either.
And a US marketing campaign hailed Lambrusco as the love child of wine and champagne. This is what we're doing to this story, Debbie.
Good girl.
We don't agree.
No.
That's got a no. So, Dr. John, may I just ask you the question? Let's rumble the drums. Who is on the show next week, Dr. John?
Well, before I say that, I will comment on your comments about about various things that you said to me. We do not have a problem in our household with people having to spend all their time on the lavatory because they get some disease and require to use lavatory paper.
Right.
However, having said
that... So if I come round, do I bring my own in case you run out?
No, we never run out because we never use it to the same volume that clearly your family uses it. Anyway, as answering your question, who do we have on next week? We have Andrea Howardson from At Chocolate Angel.
Ah, now she makes our chocolate scoff lodges.
Yes, she does.
Of which we've run out.
Yeah, we've run out. So hopefully she'll be bringing some more.
Yeah.
We have Claire Eckley coming on as part of the Tunbridge Market, Farmers Market.
And she's doing Christmas roast potatoes.
Yes, and she is at Pure Kent. And we also have Phil Miles from At Godmersham Game.
So he'll be frying up a bit of venison.
Well, perhaps, yes, perhaps indeed.
Well, otherwise he's not allowed in unless we have...
Yeah, we know you're so mercenary about these things. That's
do
what
you like to be fed on the show.
Well, you like to scoff at everyone else's expense, yes. No wonder you always have to use lavatory paper in your house. Huh?
Now, for January and February, people, we're looking at, obviously, Valentine's Day. So if you're doing anything for Valentine's Day that you want the scoff listeners to know about, do... send us in or tweet us at ScoffGoff because we're now booking February, March. And of course, in the new year, we'll be doing the old get fit thing. So, of course, Steve the Fish, perfect.
Of course.
Chocolate, very good for those slumps in the afternoon. You know, as long as you don't eat 10 bars, actually, the endorphins.
That's right. And the better quality chocolate, the better as well. That's why the dark's better for you than milk or white.
It is.
I knew there was a reason why I like dark chocolate.
Yeah. Now, Kent and Crep have sent us a great big thing. Let's buy Christmas presents from small local businesses and self-employed people. For example, from your neighbour who sells online and local craftsperson who makes jewellery. Blah-de-blah, more or less. It's a stunning local florist shop. The local bakers that do homemade cakes, buns and chocolates. The guy that runs a cafe or a salon. Make sure our money goes to individual people and not multinational companies. Local people will have a better Christmas. Support real people. Brilliant. We totally agree. And we are retweeting you right now.
Another thing I came across in the week was an article about how the US conglomerates are in cahoots with the European Union to try and muscle in on the European Union markets at the expense of small businesses. And it's been kept very secret and very quiet, but apparently they're in discussions as to how they can actually shut out small producers.
It's awful, isn't it? And you see these, you know, let's talk about the Tesco Extra and all these little shops that are sort of creeping onto the street corners and the high streets. And we do try and stop them, but it's very, very difficult, isn't it?
The trouble is people say they don't want them, and I think that's quite true, but then once they're there, they're so convenient and they're open till late at night, which is handy, so the draw is there, isn't it?
Which is often what a small business can't do, because
that's
they
right.
can't employ the staff.
Mm.
Yeah. It's very tough, but let's all make a real effort to go to our local farmers markets or our markets, our street markets. That's great street food going on, isn't there, Steve?
Oh, fantastic at the moment. Absolutely superb. There's so many varieties and flavours.
We've been loving having your company and listening to Scoff and Quaff. Join us next week. As usual, tweet us at Scoff Quaff or at Jules Serkin or John Onebill. And have a look at our website, www.scoffquaff.co.uk. To find out everyone that's been on the show. And for now, from me, Dr. John, from Debbie Carter and Steve the Fish, goodbye.
Channel Radio. Channelradio.co.uk.
Well, get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Another great Jules Serkin, Scoff and Quaff show on Channel Radio. No alpacas were consumed during this production.
And I roll my breakfast because I'm a hungry man. I say shake, rattle and roll.
On Channel Radio.
Channelradio.co.uk.